In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for behold, your King cometh, sitting on the foal of an ass. That prophecy from Zechariah now becomes fulfilled with our Lord Jesus Christ entering into Jerusalem. We've had, to this point in the Gospels, a lot of teaching. We've had a lot of miracles. We've had some unbelievable miracles. We've had Lazarus just raised from the dead. We've had people wanting to kill Lazarus because of that, because the word began to spread like crazy about who Jesus Christ was. Before, there were local gatherings, local communities, local crowds who saw so many of these things that had happened. They were witnesses, some with small groups, some with a little bit larger. But now with the raising of Lazarus, we have something that is stupendous. It's something that could not be kept quiet because it was not that far from the proximity of Jerusalem. And so as the word gets out, the crowd begins to get excited. They begin to think that maybe there is something after all to this prophet, this teacher, this rabbi called Jesus that they had been hearing about. And now they've heard that a man has actually been raised from the dead. And not actually just raised from the dead, but was 4 days in the tomb. And now they can even talk to this man. They can talk to the many people that saw this incredible event. And they all begin to get excited. And so almost as if against their will, they rush to greet the King coming into Jerusalem by waving palm branches and throwing their garments down in front of Him as He comes in. It's almost as if they couldn't help themselves, that the promised Messiah that they had awaited for so long, they knew in their hearts had really come, that He was there. But yet, in just a short matter of days, 4 or 5 days, many of these same people were going to turn against Him completely when they begin to have doubts, when they begin to think that maybe somehow this whole thing was just a hoax. It was just publicity, if you will. It was something that could not possibly be true. None of it. None of the miracles. None of the events that happened. None of the teachings. All of it didn't matter at all. But yet, for one small moment, when the Lord comes into Jerusalem, the greatness of His stature is shown. Who He is, the He who is shown to everyone that it is God in the flesh coming to the holy city of Jerusalem. And why does He come on the foal of an ass? What a strange thing, we might think. Because as St. Luke tells us, it was a foal that was not tamed. It was none that had ever been ridden by a man. And yet, this animal knows that its creator is going to be riding upon it. And we could look at this donkey in several different ways. According to St. Ignatius Brianchaninov, the colt is essentially the Gentiles, that the Lord was coming in, and by the teaching of the apostles who laid their garments on its back, that the Gentiles are now brought in to the orbit of Jesus Christ and into the salvation that He offers. St. Ignatius goes on to explain that also the colt is symbolic of our own passions. The colt was wild and untamed, and yet through the gospel preaching, our passions are put into check. Our belief is set aright. The things that we know of God are put into context, and that we know how to worship Him from that moment on. St. Ignatius goes into far more things than I can really mention now, but these two are things that struck me as very important, because I had always wondered over the years why it was that the Lord chose the colt of an ass. I mean, the idea of it being humble, of Him coming into Jerusalem in humility, was one thing that's put forward all the time. And I guess there is a certain truth to that. But at the same time, he comes in great glory, with great acclamation. And so that sort of takes that aspect of it out of the picture. But now we know that the cult of the ass represents something entirely different. The Gentiles coming into the church. And the Jews who were acclaiming him as well, already in a hypocritical fashion, were planning against him, even from the raising of Lazarus. It's something that they wanted to do, something that they knew they were going to do, that they were going to bring this man down, that they were going to bring all of his disciples down. And of course, the Lord who once said about his second coming, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Might also ask at that point, when the Son of Man comes into Jerusalem and is led to be crucified, will he find faith among his followers? And the truth of the matter was, there were very, very few. So we have to ask ourselves today, are we going to be like those who greet him today and then turn against him? We will be with him this week. We will be with him a lot. We will be with him in his extreme humility for the next 3 days. We will sup with him at his Last Supper on Thursday. We will go with him to the cross on Thursday evening. We will be at the foot of the cross on Friday. And we will be with his mother and the loyal disciples around him singing the Lamentations on Holy Friday evening. We will await the tomb with great expectation. And then finally, hopefully, we will be with him during his resurrection on Saturday evening. You have to ask yourselves, as I'm asking myself today too, because although I have to be here for all of these services, there's not a choice in the matter. The question still remains, will I be spiritually here? Will I be someone who is looking forward to the things of Passion Week? Looking forward to experience the sorrow and the despair and the distraughtness, giving way to the hope of the resurrection and finally seeing his resurrection on Saturday evening. Will I be that way? Will you be that way? There's only, starting this afternoon, 17 services this week. 17 services. Are you willing to be with the Lord? Not everyone can be at all of those services. That's understood. Everyone knows that, although a few loyal people will be here for most of them. But the main services near the end of the week, are you willing to give your life to Christ Jesus this week? And I don't ask that in a facetious or even silly manner, because we all have to look into ourselves at this point in time and think, do I really love the Lord? Am I giving my entire life to him? Because that's why the church celebrates these things every year. It's to ask all of us to recommit ourselves, because the church well understands that we as human beings are variable, to say the least, in our emotions, in our commitment. And that's why she brings this around every single year and says to us, now is the time. We may not have been there 2,000 years ago when all these things happened. But as the church proclaims to us in her services, we are actually there. Because when the church says that today the Lord is with his disciples in the upper room, today he is hung upon the cross, these exact words, today he is taken down from the cross. Today he rises from the dead. This isn't just some kind of poetic license, because in the eighth day, the day of the Eschaton, the eternal day, the day that the Lord inaugurated with his resurrection, all these things are brought together in the great anamnesis, the great memory of the church, which is far more than memory. It's a making present of all of these events. when we see the Lord nailed to the cross on Thursday evening, He is nailed to the cross in as real a fashion as He was those 2,000 years ago. That's the beauty of what Christ brings us. Because we didn't have to be there all those years ago. We are there now. We are there today on Palm Sunday. He is before us. We wave these palms of victory in the same way because today the Lord enters into Jerusalem. Today He is acclaimed by all. Our faith is so much more than mere symbolism, my dear brothers and sisters. That is the power of orthodoxy. That is what every other Christian faith in the world misses. It's the reality of being there with the Lord at all of these times, of His presence being among us constantly in a real and tangible way, of the things that happened, the great salvific actions that happened in history, happen again and again and again. Because with the Lord, there is no time. With the saints in heaven, there is no time. They are everywhere and they fill all things. And they're with us today as we greet Him on His way into Jerusalem. So this really is the beginning of Passion Week with this service. This is when we commit ourselves to say, we are throwing down things in front of Him. We are waving our palms and branches, but we're not going to ignore Him. We're going to go with Him to the foot of the cross. It's the most important thing in your lives this week. There is nothing more important. If you for a moment think so, for even one moment, think that there's something more important, no matter what it is, you are wrong. You are completely wrong. The church proclaims this to us today and calls all of us to go with Him to the cross. We need to do this. We need to recommit. And our joy in this celebration today, and it is right to celebrate the things that happened today. But in order to prepare ourselves for the great reality of His resurrection, there is no resurrection for us unless we are with Him at the foot of the cross. That's something that the disciples learned the hard way, if you will recall, because only St. John was there with the Mother of God and a few of the myrrh-bearing women. All of the other disciples scattered, and they were bitter about it. They felt terrible about it. They knew, in the light of the resurrection, what it all meant. But they also wrote down what it all meant. And they give that to us today so that we will not have to go through the same bitterness and despondency that they did. We know more than they did, thanks to the things that they suffered. So let us come with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.